Good morning, Colorado Springs. It's another brighter day in the neighborhood. I'm Angela Jones, and our special guest today is Devin Christensen. Welcome, Devin.
Well, thank you. Good to be here.
It was a little bit of a wind-up, too.
For sure.
Give three takes to be able to get the beginning of the podcast started, but hey, we're here now.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. You are a close friend of my assistant, Emily.
Yes.
And yeah. So she wanted to bring you on because you have a special story and you're a fourth generation Colorado native.
Yes, correct.
Okay. So let's start first about Colorado, like how long you've been in Colorado. Okay. And I know your family has. It yeah. started, like we said, four generations ago.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So my family were homesteaders originally that came out. I always joke with people that I'm as native as you can get.
Right.
But then I now have a friend who's actually Native American. And So she one-ups me on that all the time. And we go rounds about it. But right. Yeah, I've been in Colorado. I grew up here. Northeastern Colorado, actually. Grew up on a farm.
Okay. So Northeastern Colorado.
Fort Morgan.
Okay.
Specifically, yeah.
Now, actually, I have a case where the opposing party is up in Fort Morgan.
Okay.
So there's not a lot up there.
There's not much up there.
Right.
Small town.
Lots of farms.
Yeah, lots of farms on the outskirts. So, yep, okay. For sure.
All right. And so you grew up on that farm, and I understand you had like an entrepreneurial streak from an early age.
Yeah. Well, and that kind of goes with the farming community, right? I mean, because you're just, if something needs fixing, you have to do it, right? You don't necessarily call a mechanic. You do it yourself. And so you just learn a lot of different things growing up on a farm. And so, yeah, I started pretty young doing business stuff, everything from keeping track of chickens and selling the eggs.
So is that your first business?
Yeah, technically, yeah. I started that. I can remember doing it around 6 years old. I think I started younger, but yeah.
Right, but actually going out and collecting the eggs and then taking them and selling them wholesale or something?
Yep, yeah. My parents' friends, you know, I was homeschooled growing up, and so, you know, we did different things and groups, but I had regular clients that would buy eggs every week, you know, and it was my job to take care of the chickens, clean them, you know, and sell them the eggs. So
one of my favorite childhood memories is going up, and I think the earliest I went to Grandfather Mountain in North Carolina was I was around 12, and my Uncle Don, he had chickens and that he sold the eggs. And so one of the things that we got to do was, you know, who got to go out and help, you know, gather the eggs and help clean the chickens. Like that was like a big treat. So
that's what we call our cousins. They were the suckers because when they came to the farm, we convinced them that it was some wonderful thing to go clean the chicken coop.
Right.
And they'd go out and do that. You know, it was very much a Tom Sawyer kind of thing where convince them it's an amazing experience and they go do it for you.
And we get to snap beans and, you know, all kinds of things like that. But it was really neat. It was neat. I grew up in kind of a rural-ish area of Florida, you know, dirt roads and you know, not farms, so it was more, you know, dirt roads. Just dirt roads, mostly in lakes. But that was cool. And so after that, you...
Well, I mean, I grew up there. I started, you know, working as soon as I was old enough to on the farm, you know, helping out, running cattle. Eventually, you know, as I got older, I purchased my own semi at 16 years old.
Yeah, I think that's fascinating. So, and I was wondering, you can get a CDL when you're 16?
Well, I had my dad co-sign on the loan, and we got farm plates.
Gotcha.
And so I didn't have to have a CDL. I could run anywhere within 100 miles of my home base. And so, yeah, I did that. Started it.
So what did
16.
You run? Like, what kind of, were you just, like, picking up, dropping off farm stuff or
all kinds of stuff.
Animals or?
Everything from, you know, wheat, corn. We do a lot of silage in Colorado where it's like, you know, green chopped corn, if you will, instead of the shell corn for the dairy. So I'd haul that, everything from that to hauling manure, right?
Really?
For fertilizer for fields. Oh, yeah.
So do you just pick up, like with the semi, then you just pick up, they hook the back part on, or did you have the full?
Well, you can haul all kinds of different things because you can just hook up different trailers, right?
Okay.
So if I'm hauling, you know, big hay bales, you hook up a flatbed. You know, if I'm hauling grain or corn, there are grain trailers for that.
Gotcha.
So there's just, different
fertilizer trucks.
Yeah. Well, that's just an end dump. So that's just a big, you know, basically a box trailer. And you just,
right, right.
Yeah.
Huh, that's cool. Animals, you ever, you know, called animals or?
I never did. No. No, I never did that. At least not as part of, like, with my semi. Of course, right. You know, we had cattle on the farm, and so we do that more of, like, pickup and trailer, smaller
right,
trailers.
Right, right.
So, yep.
Yep. And so your folks are still there running the farm? Or?
Well, they're not running the farm anymore. They retired a few years ago.
Okay.
And so they're enjoying retired life, but the farm's still in the family.
I gotcha. Yep. And then you actually left the farm to do something kind of interesting, too.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so let's talk about that.
Well, this has been about 10 years ago at this point. Mm-hmm. I'd actually been running my own business in Fort Collins, Colorado.
Okay.
And
FOCO.
And just had some really profound spiritual encounters. And so I actually walked away from all of that. And I've spent the last 10 years traveling based on the dreams I have at night. And kind of been all over the world doing that. So.
All right. So, I mean, is that something you like to share or generally share?
Yeah, I share a lot about that. At this point, I actually travel and teach for different ministries.
Okay.
A lot about just spiritual things, right? How to hear from God, how to actually take, you know, like the dreams that you're having and act on them.
Okay.
And so I share on that a lot at this point, but.
And so kind of walk me through what you do. It's like you get connected with the church and you come in and speak, or you teach a course, or.
Well, that's, yeah, currently, and I teach for different ministries like YWAM. I don't know if you've heard of YWAM,
yeah.
Youth with a Mission.
Mm-hmm.
They actually have me come out to their different bases and teach a 4-day seminar for them. I've taught for different churches and ministries, but a lot of, I don't know, I help people understand just the spiritual side and nature of life, right? Because everybody has dreams,
right?
You know, and even if they haven't had them in several years, they had them when they were younger. And a lot of times dreams create a lot of turmoil, right, in people's lives, because a lot of times they're seeing dark things, but that's not all of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's some that actually are very life-giving. And so just helping people understand how to navigate that and really how to respond to it.
So, I am familiar with YWAM. My oldest son, Daniel, did the YWAM Ships program. So have you gotten to go out to Hawaii?
No, not Hawaii. No, not yet. That's their big base now.
I would suggest that you might need to go out there and teach some of those folks. Because he went to Papua New Guinea from there. That was his and actually, we were kind of thinking, at least I was kind of thinking, he would actually get on a ship. But he ended up getting on a very small boat in going through Papua New Guinea, you know, with their missions program, coming in and teaching and, you know, and serving and things like that, and brought back malaria. So, you know, but yeah, I think, you know, that definitely familiar with that. And one of the things that I think Emily and I were actually talking about yesterday was the whole thing about dreams. I remember when I was 6 or 7 and I was in my yard, I remember just sitting there and thinking that, like, this whole existence we have is kind of like a dream, you know? I mean, like, and I feel like, you know, just from a spiritual aspect, like, people keep thinking, hey, you can sleep with you when you die. I don't believe that's the case. I think we're going to go out of this, you know, dimension, for lack of a better word, and step into the next, you know, spiritual realm, almost like we're waking up.
Yeah.
Kind of the way the we experience, we go to sleep and we wake up into our real life. And it's just a theory that I have that it might feel that way. Like, we're going to come out of our earthly experience and then into, you know, that next realm. It'll be like waking up and, like, we're back into the real reels of the whole thing. And so I think that's kind of interesting that you sort of, you know, putting this together, like, this piece of life that we have when we're asleep, it's very real. It's a very real part of our life, whether we can remember it when we wake up, you know, and we're lucid, you know, here and now. We spend a great deal of our time in that dream world.
We do.
Yeah. So what are the principles that, you know, in general, that you pass on to people about that?
Well, a lot of it is just come, you know, in my life, just from being diligent with them, right? And keeping track and that kind of stuff. Okay. And then I learned that you can actually act based on things you're seeing in your dreams.
Okay.
So for an example, and one of the stories I like to share is, I'd been doing this for a few years, and then at one point I actually had a dream. In the dream, I was crossing in front of Victoria Falls, which is a, you know, big waterfall in Africa. Wow. I didn't know where it was in Africa, but, you know,
but you
I knew it was
see
there.
Victoria
yeah.
Falls. Okay.
And it was very clear in the dream. And I wasn't asking about it. You know, I wasn't planning on going to Africa. None of that. Like, they just kind of out of the blue. Well, after I had the dream, about 3 days later, a couple I know wrote me a letter and said, hey, we're supposed to buy you a ticket. Where do you need to go? And so on a Saturday afternoon, I bought a one-way ticket for Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. And I showed up at DIA with a one-way ticket, a carry-on backpack, and $3 in my pocket. And I flew to Africa.
Okay.
No contacts, nothing like that. Yeah. And so... And obviously, I made it back, right?
We think so. Yeah, yes, right. I'm not having any exercise too much faith to believe that. Yes, I like that. But did you die?
Yeah.
You know, no. I didn't, but I'm here.
And it's just helping people understand that you know, as you keep track, as you're diligent with these things,
right?
They're actually very interactive with our lives,
right?
You know, and you had asked a little bit, what do I teach about dreams? Mm-hmm. Well, one of the main things is that a dream is like a window.
Okay.
I mean, I can look out a window and I can see good things, right? Mm-hmm. I can see people talking, kids playing, you know, whatever.
Right.
I can also look out a window and see bad things. Mm. I can see a car accident. I can see someone getting robbed, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
But the fact that you can see it is a good thing, right? Because if you can see it, you can respond to it.
Got it.
Right? And so a lot of times when people, you know, they have dreams, they just don't make any sense to them, right? They don't understand mm-hmm. it at all. Mm-hmm. And so they just dismiss it. And they're just like, nah, you know, whatever. It was just bad pizza, right?
Right, right.
And in reality, if we're diligent with them, we actually grow in understanding.
Okay.
Okay. And it's like learning a new language in many ways. And because of that, you know, in life, we say things like, you know, why aren't my relationships working? Or why aren't my finances working, right? We even pray and ask God, like, God, why isn't this happening?
Right.
You know, why are these bad things in my life? And then often we'll have a dream that's like kind of like a nightmare.
Right.
And it's scary. And so we just dismiss it instead of recognizing, wait a minute, that's probably an answer to the question I've been asking as to why something's not working in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And if I can see it, scary or not,
right.
I can respond to it.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And so a lot of what I do is actually help people, one, kind of restore that place of dreams in their life, because a lot of people, because of traumatic experiences, they're just like, no, I don't want that anymore, you know, God, take it away from me,
right?
And then, you know, 10 and 15 years later, they realize I haven't had a dream in 10 or 15 years,
or that they can remember.
Yeah,
right.
And so helping them get that restored, because actually God likes to speak to us. He likes to show us things, you know. I'm a believer. I'm a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things in the New Testament, Jesus says, he says, I do what I see my Father doing. I
right.
speak what I hear him saying, right?
Right, right.
Well, if he lived as a man, he has to be talking about dreams and visions. Because how else do you see in the spiritual realm?
Right.
Right? And so there's a place where I think a lot of people, you know, one of the major questions we're asking is, why am I here? What's my purpose, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I've just found that God is more than willing to answer that. It's just that we've been either taught or just believe that he doesn't speak to us.
Hmm.
And so then we're not paying attention when he does.
Right. You're listening to A Brighter Day in the Neighborhood on KPPF. I'm your host, Angela Jones, and we're with Devin Christensen today. So you were talking a little bit earlier about diligence, about dreams. And so what do you mean by that? Like, what does it mean to be diligent about your dreams?
Okay. Yeah, that's a great question. And I'll just answer that with a story about my own life
and
kind of how I got started on all this.
Okay.
Like I said, it was about 10 years ago. And for whatever reason, God put it on my heart to just keep track of my dreams.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't having any and hadn't in years.
Okay.
And so it was one of those things like, okay, I'm supposed to keep track of things I'm not having.
Right.
And so what I did, though, is I got a notepad and pen, and literally before going to sleep, I'd be like, okay, Lord, if you give me a dream, I'll get up and I'll write it down.
Right.
Right? And it actually took several days, probably close to a week. And I woke up one morning, and it was that feeling of, like, okay, I know that I had a dream. I just can't remember it.
Right.
And so I literally wrote that down, you know, this date, had a dream, don't remember it.
Right.
And about 5 days later, I had one and I could remember like a piece of it. So I wrote that down, had a dream. This is what I remember. There was more, don't remember it. Mm-hmm. And from there, it's just like things just opened up to the point where since that time, I dream pretty much every night. Right. Okay. And 95% of them I can remember.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's amazing the kind of things that you can see spiritually and that God will show you about your own life, about other people's lives.
Right.
Again, just being diligent, which isn't a big, I don't know, it's not this big spiritual principle. In the New Testament, Jesus says, take heed how you hear. The one who hears, more will be given. Right? Those who don't hear, even what they have is taken away, which... I mean, in a, you know, just our daily lives, if every time you and I had a conversation, I just roll my eyes and I'm like, ugh, whatever.
Or you're like, hey,
we're
stop.
We're probably not going to talk much, right?
Right. You're like, because why? Why should I tell you if you're not, you know, going to act on or pay attention to what I'm saying?
Exactly. And so just taking that step of just being diligent has a lot to do with our heart's posture of saying, okay, I want to hear and I'm going to be faithful with it. Whether I understand it or not, I can at least hold it open-handed, right? And just be like, it's here, I don't understand it, but I'll wait until he shows me what it means.
Right. So would that is that what you would suggest to someone who's like, you know, wants to start, like you said, you didn't have any dreams, you would just kind of go, okay, I've got this pen and paper, and I'm going to get up and write it down. I mean, would you wake yourself up, or do you just, like, when you naturally wake up, you know, write things down?
Generally, after a dream, you tend to kind of come up out of it, right? You wake up. Or the next day, if I didn't wake up immediately after in the middle of the night, just in the morning, you know, just get up and making sure that's, like, the first thing I do is write it down before I lose it, right, before I forget it.
Right.
And so that's, I definitely recommend that people start there. There's other things, you know, just one of the big things with any of this is what we believe matters. Okay. And I'll just give you a story as an example.
All right.
A friend of mine and we were staying in the same place, same house, and he, neat guy, and he'd actually gotten set free of a 11-year heroin addiction. And just on fire for the Lord and just, I mean, he was the guy that if he felt God was telling him to give a guy his coat, he'd just walk over and give the guy his coat.
Right,
like,
right.
He's just incredible guy. Well, at one point, we're having a conversation, and he's like, well, God just doesn't speak to me in dreams. And it was one of those moments where, you know, words come out your mouth before you can stop them, you know.
Right.
And my response to him was, hey, you just have a demonic spirit stealing your dreams.
Really?
And I could tell. He was kind of taken aback by it. He was like, what? And I was like, well, yeah, you know, the parable of the sower, right? Anyway, I kind of explained it to him with scripture.
And that would be the parable of the sower is like the seed gets set on the ground, but it's taken away by a crow.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Which Jesus explains is, okay, this revelation, this word is given, and a demonic spirit comes and steals it.
Right, and the crow represents that demonic spirit.
Yep.
And I know what you're saying, but some people conceptualize that maybe as like, you know, spirit of darkness or the devil or whatever. Like
exactly.
That.
Yeah. And so I could tell it didn't sit well with him. Mm. Well, a couple days later, you know, like 3 days later. And again, we were staying in the same place.
I don't think anybody wants to hear that demons are taking things from them.
No, that is a little freaky.
it's a little freaky for a lot of people. Right.
But he comes back several days later and he's like, hey, I was praying about it. And I actually felt like God said you were right. He's like, what do I need to do? And I told him, and again, it was just one of those moments where it was just kind of like God's grace on it. But I told him, first off, you clearly believe that God speaks. And I said, that's huge. I mean, there are entire denominations of Christians that don't believe that, right? Mm. I said, two, you believe God speaks to you. Mm. And I said, that also very good, right? But three, you very clearly believe God does not speak to you in dreams. Mm. And I told him, I said, who told you that?
Right.
And he thought about it because it was a genuine question. I was like, did a pastor tell you that? Did you read it in a book? Mm-hmm. And he's like, no. He's like, I don't know where I got that. And I explained something, a little bit about the spiritual realm to him. I said, well, you don't just believe a lie. You agree with a liar. Okay. Mm. And I said, when you believe that, you actually gave permission to a spirit to steal that. Mm. And he was like, okay, I don't understand it, but what do I need to do?
Right.
And I asked him, I was like, well, are you willing to, and it's this term used in the Bible, are you willing to repent? Meaning, are you willing to change your mind?
Right.
And he's like, sure. And so I led him in this quick prayer, and I was just like, hey, just, you know, just acknowledge I chose to believe that God doesn't speak to me in dreams, mm-hmm. and I renounce that belief. Hmm. And it was very simple, right? Well, literally.
So nothing crazy.
Nothing
crazy.
You're
not, you know, casting, he didn't get slain or
no
laying of hands or.
No flopping on the floor.
We're not talking about an exorcist, like in The Exorcist, nothing creepy or crazy.
No rotating heads.
Right,
no,
right.
No, none of that.
You know, okay.
Well, it's funny though, the next morning he comes out of his room and I was, you know, cooking breakfast or doing something in the living room. And he just threw the roof excited. And he was just like, man, I've got to tell you, he says, the craziest thing happened to me.
Okay.
And I was like, you know, go for it. And he's like, last night I had a dream. It's the first one I can remember having. It was exactly an answer I've been asking God for all week.
Oh, wow.
He says, but that's not the craziest thing. He says, I woke up and I rolled over in bed to turn my light on so I could write it down. And he says, standing next to my bed, clear as day, I could see this demonic spirit.
Wow.
And what it looked like and everything. And he described it, I mean, perfectly.
I don't know that I would respond in a way that was excited. I mean, yes, if you mean like freaked out, that's kind of excited.
Well,
but.
To be fair, he, you know, had been addicted to heroin for 11 years.
Okay,
he'd seen some pretty crazy things.
He'd seen some crazy,
right?
Things. True.
It, okay, it didn't freak
enough.
Him out
fair
quite
enough.
As much as maybe some people. But, anyway, so he describes it. What it looked like.
Right.
But he said this thing, its arms were like stuck to its legs. And he says it was angry because it wasn't able to reach out and steal that dream.
Oh, wow.
And what's interesting about it is, I mean, in that moment, I was like, okay, that's great. Let's deal with this thing, right? We're not leaving it in the house. But
right.
He shortly after that, he got a different job. He moved out.
Right.
And I bumped into him like 3 or 4 months later.
Right.
And he had a stack of journals, probably an inch thick, of all the dreams that he had had since then.
Wow.
Okay. And I use that to help people understand that our beliefs matter. And what we agree to matters. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times in our head, we know things, but our heart doesn't believe them.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And so there's a way of changing that. Mm-hmm. And as we come into agreement, you know, hey, God speaks to me.
Right.
Right? He wants to speak to me in dreams in this
right.
case.
Right.
Guess what? That changes and we'll actually start receiving things that may have been blocked from us for years.
Oh, that's awesome. I think that's really cool. But speaking of... like kind of amazing things. I'd like to get us back to you landing in Africa with $3.
Oh yeah.
So, because that's to me now, you know, that's kind of amazing. So how did that work go?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it worked, obviously you're here, but how did that go?
Well, what's funny is, you know, I had a friend drive me to the airport, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here in Colorado,
right?
Took me to DIA, get to the airport. Guy gets out, comes over, pulls out his wallet and says, hey, do you need this? And gives me $300. Which
wow.
I didn't ask for, because I again, when I travel, I don't tell anyone how much I need or don't.
Right.
In 10 years, I've never fundraised.
Right,
okay?
Right.
Because I just feel like, hey, I guess the best way to look at it is, you know, if I worked for Google and they told me, hey, we need you to meet with a client in Europe, just go to the airport, there'll be a ticket waiting for you, expense everything,
mm-hmm.
right? I would do it.
Right.
Right. I wouldn't think twice about doing
right,
it.
Right, right.
Okay? And so I treat God the same way.
Yeah.
Okay. If he tells me to go do something, I can just go do it and
right.
he'll provide along the way. And so I showed up, you know, of course I needed that because I didn't even have money for a visa to get in the country at that
right,
point. Right.
Right.
And so I have that, I have enough for food. So yeah, I flew. It was a long, long trip, long layover, but I actually ended up because I flew into, Victoria Falls, Zimbabwe.
Wow.
Because again, back to that original dream mm-hmm. of crossing in front of Victoria Falls. I was crossing kind of from left to right in front of the falls, which mm-hmm. when I looked it up and did my research, that would mean I was in Zimbabwe crossing into Zambia.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I did.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so like the whole trip, like things were just showing up, you know,
oh, yeah.
just how did you get back? Where did you go from there?
Oh, there's days worth of stories, right?
Right, right. Let's do the Cliff Notes version.
Oh,
I
goodness.
Think we have just a couple minutes left.
I don't even know how to do the Cliff Notes version. yeah, I mean, I was in 4 different countries. I had 5 flights, never asked for it.
And people just kept giving you...
People, tickets. I mean, I've got tons of stories. People just walking up to me, total strangers, saying, hey, I don't know who you are, but God told me to give you this.
Wow.
In Zambia, again, based on a dream, I actually started and I went and stayed in a ghetto, one of probably the worst ghettos in the area, with a guy until he got set free of stuff. And I just taught the kids and stuff, right? Because as the only white guy in miles, I'm kind of a celebrity in that sense, right? Right? Because everybody wants to know, what is this guy doing here? No one else, you know. And so I was able to do that. And the next place God took me and he connected me with was the former minister of information for the country.
Wow.
So presidential cabinet. And again, I didn't have any contacts going over. It's just all the things that God set up. And and just story after story after story like that. I was there 6 months. Like I said, 4 different countries. And yeah, never fundraised, never asked for money.
Well, Devin, if someone wants to get a hold of you so they can, I don't know, have you come teach or, you know, work with them or something like that, is there a way they can do that?
I guess at this point, kind of the best way to do that is honestly just my email. I don't have a website. I do have a podcast they could look into. And it's not really a podcast like yours where you do, you know, updated episodes.
Right.
These were mostly just teachings that I recorded from, you know, teaching for YWAM and other ministries and just uploaded them.
So you announce the URL or?
Yeah. Well, it's just, it's on Spotify. It's on Apple Podcasts. It's just Kingdom Play.
Kingdom Play.
Yeah. Two words, Kingdom Play.
All right. And then your email?
Is dc.dreambuilder@gmail.com.
Well, that's wonderful. Well, it was really, really awesome to get to know you and meet you and spend some time with you today. And I really look forward to hopefully having more time to talk with you about these topics.
All right. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. this has been A Brighter Day in the Neighborhood. You can join us here every Sunday at the same time and same station. Until next time, have a brighter day.